All right. Well, I already passed along that we start Thursday and Friday with our KPE legislative hotlines. And I think with our Thursday program at 8:05, we'll have State Senator Brad Hawkins leading us off. But occasionally through the session, we will get an opportunity to talk here on the agenda. So, Senator Hawkins, I think they were running a little bit behind schedule, but we got you now.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dave. Thanks for having me. Things are running a little bit longer on the session floor this first day. We had a lot of ceremonial activities, a lot of new senators that are being sworn in, and caucus discussion. So things are already starting to take off over here in Olympia. And it's raining cats and dogs in Olympia. So what's new being over here in Olympia? But
well, what's new is you're back in person, though, for the first time in a couple of sessions.
Yeah, we're back in person, and in fact, I think that's part of why things are taking a little bit longer, because frankly, we got to kind of relearn how to do that again, for as unusual as that sounds. I mean, so much of the past couple legislative sessions has been working remotely and voting remotely, and now that we're all back in person again, there's a lot of things that transpire that we don't get when we're working remotely. And a lot of it, especially these early first few days, are a lot of the ceremonial things that frankly make the Senate special. And the galleries today were full of family members and members of the public watching new senators getting sworn in. So that was exciting to see. There is a lot of positive energy, especially in these early days.
Well, I want to cover four or five key issues in the legislature this session. But first, I want to ask kind of where we're at with a real interesting possibility here of a regional aquatic center. I know you've been bringing a lot of folks together to talk about this. It has a long process it would have to go to if it's to be. But a regional aquatics center, you've already laid some groundwork over in Olympia. Give us a little synopsis as to where we're at and what process you're trying to corral everybody together to see if this can be.
Yeah, I'm really excited for how it's progressed. Basically, you know, knowing what the challenges are with the Wenatchee City Pool, it was built in 1965. It's in need of significant improvements just to basically stay operational. I worked with Mayor Koontz and Mayor Crawford and then gathered a large group of stakeholders just to begin exploring the possibilities of having an indoor 50-meter pool and having potentially a sports complex and what would be involved in that. Basically, after many months of some discussions, and again, we're just starting off the discussions, really. I think this whole process could take a couple years of input and collaboration, but basically, we came to the realization that forming a public facilities district might be in our best interest, so we could have sort of shared facility across the two counties and especially the two cities and maybe more cities. And I do have a bill this session to allow communities of our size to form a second public facilities district, because under state law, you're only allowed one, and we kind of used up that opportunity to resolve the situation years ago with the Town Toyota Center. So this legislation, Senate Bill 5001, would allow communities of our size to form a second public facilities district for the purposes of a regional aquatic center or sports complex.
So I understand there's a legislator in another part of the state that wants to do something like this as well. Is that fortuitous? Does that help the possibility that this bill could get some support? Because after all, you're in the minority. Republicans are really vastly outnumbered here in both chambers.
Yes, and I'm more aware of that now than ever on a day like today. But yes, I've always worked on bills in a bipartisan fashion. I was aware that right here in Olympia, the town of Olympia and the county of Thurston County and its neighboring communities, they want to do something with an aquatic center. They've actually been studying it quite extensively. So I reached out to the senator who represents Olympia, Senator Sam Hunt, and wrote my legislation so that they would also qualify, because their counties are approximately similar size under the public facility district law as Chelan and Douglas County. And so I asked if he'd be willing to co-sponsor it, and he did. In fact, the city of Olympia is going to be supporting the bill along the way, as is Mayor Koontz and Mayor Crawford, and hopefully we'll have representatives from the counties and the regional port authority. Ultimately, this bill would give us the governance structure and financing mechanism to pursue a second public facility district, if that's ultimately what all of the stakeholders that are working on this project decide to do. The stakeholder group does plan to have a series of meetings throughout 2023, and that group is led by Mayor Geralee Crawford, and they will kind of study the feasibility of the whole Aquatic Center Sports Complex idea.
We're talking to State Senator Brad Hawkins. He'll be a guest with us occasionally on the agenda throughout the session. I think we've got four or five, maybe six times. We've already picked some dates. And then he'll also join us on the Thursday legislative hotlines here starting this Thursday. So Governor Inslee has proposed the state raise some $4 billion over the next 6 years by issuing bonds and using that money to build thousands of housing units. This would require the voters' approval on this. But there are also some proposals out there to change single cities, to change single-family zoning to allow a more multi-housing units. So you're talking some significant changes, but we're talking a lot of money for this. So I want to get your impression on that. The governor is saying we're not doing enough, and we haven't gotten to a pace to meet the homelessness issues statewide.
Yeah, good question, Dave. So I guess what I'd say is, you know, we do have a lot of housing challenges all throughout the state, but it's not exactly the same in all areas of the state. So, for example, the Western Washington portion of the state, and particularly the urban areas of Seattle and other communities, are really struggling with homelessness. Now, in our area in Chelan and Douglas County, we certainly have challenges with homelessness too. But when it comes to housing, one of the main challenges we have is workforce housing. Housing that isn't necessarily lifting people out of homelessness, but housing opportunities that are affordable and attainable for the people who live in communities like Leavenworth, Chelan, even the Wenatchee Valley. I passed a bill last legislative session with a whole collection of stakeholders to provide additional options to counties within their existing revenue streams. And that's obviously one of the things I'd like to see. But in terms of new revenue, we'll have to really get into the specifics of the governor's proposal at some point, because his budget that he's proposing is, you know, proposing to spend something in the neighborhood of $70 billion, 70. And the state budget just 10 years ago, when Governor Inslee first took office, was $33 billion. And so that would be, to go from 33 to 70 would obviously be over doubling the state budget just in the times that he's in office. And this homelessness issue has grown while he's in office. I mean, it's certainly not his fault necessarily, but to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, we're going to be having these really frank discussions, because you know, a lot of these issues that they're wanting to spend billions and billions of dollars to fix, you know, have all sort of increased during this last decade. And also, there have been a lot of policies that have been approved at the state capitol that have arguably made home ownership, less attainable and more costly. So we got to get into like all of the policy decisions, but in general, I am a supporter of doing more for affordable housing, but it can't be a one-size-fits-all policy all across the state, because every community and region is different when it comes to housing issues.
Yeah, well, we've got two areas right here, Lake Chelan and Leavenworth, where you've got a workforce that really can't afford to live there. So you like that workforce housing element of this issue. Going to the voters to ask them for more bonding capacity, I guess, is the issue here for a statewide one-size-fits-all approach. Doesn't make sense?
Well, I think we need to be careful about asking the state to take on more debt to do things that we could have or potentially could be doing all along, and then also the reforms and the policy changes that we could make over time that would make housing more attainable, less unaffordable. Those are all things that we should do. So I don't want to say no, for example, right now on the governor's proposal to raise the debt, but it certainly seems like a ambitious and perhaps not the right approach just initially without digging into all the details. But we certainly, the best way to resolve the issue on housing and to make housing more affordable is to increase supply. But we need to make sure that we can do that in a way that's, the most prudent use of taxpayers' dollars as well. So it's going to be a big discussion over here in Olympia this session.
So polling has shown that the economy is what most folks in any one response are concerned about. And over here on this side of the mountains, it's the biggest thing that we're concerned of. You've probably seen the latest revenue forecasts. We've got plenty of money coming in, and the folks on your side of the aisle certainly would like to see tax cuts, and the folks in the majority want to see more safety nets, more social programs, whether that's to help the homeless or other folks that are in need. So I wanted to get your impression on what should we be doing with all this extra money, and how can it benefit our state economy?
Well, speaking frankly, I think my Republican colleagues can talk about tax cuts, but that is not going to happen in this legislature. For example, I just came from the Washington State Senate chambers, where we have 49 members in the state Senate. We have 29 Democratic members, but only 20 Republican members, of which I'm one. So I think we really need to work as best we can in a bipartisan way to make sure that the dollars we are going to spend in this next two-year budget demonstrates the most reasonable expenditure of funds. And hopefully we can do all of that without raising taxes. But it's not just about not raising taxes. It's also about protecting our reserve account. And so what the governor's budget proposed, the current state budget for 2 years is approximately $64 billion. The revenues that are expected to come in over the next two-year period are expected to be approximately $66 billion. Now you think, oh, we got two extra billion dollars, but there's a lot of growth and cost increases and other things that need to be addressed. The governor is negotiating collective bargaining agreements with all the state employees. There's a lot of cost drivers that go into that. Well, the governor's proposing that budget, as I mentioned, is $70 billion. So even if we end up with a budget that's $66 billion, the real question is that going to hold back enough in reserves that our state can weather an economic downturn that could come in the future? So what happens is our state is so dependent upon the sales tax. That's the state sales tax and the B&O tax are the two largest revenue streams to the state. We get a small portion of the property tax, the state portion of the property tax, and some additional cannabis revenues, and now there's this capital gains, excise tax, and other things. But for the most part, we're talking about sales tax. When sales tax dips down in the state of Washington, our revenues flatten out, or they decrease. And when our revenues decrease, if we built a budget to the edge, which has been the case for the past several biennia, then we're in trouble. We either need to make massive cuts in the budget, which are potentially trimming things that were just added that are popular, or we have to increase taxes or some combination of both. So the best way to sort of levelize the peaks and the valleys of the economy in our state is to hold back a sufficient reserve account and to not be tempted to spend it all. And frankly, that's what the governor's budget proposes to do, and that's why I'm uncomfortable with what he proposed. And then we'll just have to see ultimately how the legislature decides to handle our budget because of the economy. Precisely your question. We can predict what the revenues may or may not be over the next 2 years. And that's what the State Revenue Forecast Council does every quarter. You know, they give us updates. But you really can't predict what's going to happen 4 years from now, 6 years from now. And we have to be prudent with the size of the state budget so that we can continue to deliver services that people care about and not have to make drastic cuts in the future. So this legislative session that we're dealing with right now is as much about 4 years from now, 6 years from now, as it is the next 2 years.
Let me ask again State Senator Brad Hawkins with us one more question before we go to break, and that's about drug possession. Back in 2021, the Supreme Court, our state Supreme Court, struck down our felony drug possession law. Lawmakers have had a stopgap measure in place classifying possession as a misdemeanor and referring people to drug treatment before charging them. That changes. That law is set to expire in July. So the lawmakers are going to have to decide what to do. How do you classify possession of drugs? We're talking about things like heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine. What can lawmakers do? Because the state Supreme Court struck down our law, which basically was criminalizing that. What do you favor? What do you think would be the best approach? I think most reasonable people think treatment needs to be one element of this, but what would be the approach that you would like to see lawmakers come up with here this session to deal with this?
That's a great question, Dave. In fact, I just came from the Senate floor, and Chief Justice Gonzalez was out there, and I'll be escorting the state Supreme Court justices and the statewide elected officials into the State of the State address tomorrow, so I'm going to get a chance to interact with them. But you're right, them striking down that Blake decision or the issuing their Blake decision in 2021, striking down Washington State's felony drug possession law was a big, big deal. We did approve the sort of temporary fix, but you're right, it expires this July. So that will be an issue one way or another that needs to be addressed this session. And it's interesting because there are a lot of different opinions all across the legislature on both sides of the aisle with what to do about drug possession. One option could be that we could elevate it from sort of a simple misdemeanor to what's called a gross misdemeanor in statute, and that would make knowingly possessing drugs in Washington State, you know, elevated a little bit into a gross misdemeanor. I think that's a responsible approach. We could try to add the word knowingly into the existing statute, which many people believe that would resolve the issue of the Blake decision, because the Blake decision was about someone who purportedly unknowingly was possessing drugs. So if you put in the statute the word knowingly, many people think that would pass constitutional muster, although how you could prove that someone knowingly possessed the drugs versus unknowingly, I think, would be a big challenge. And there have been a lot of successes in our state's therapeutic court system. So this is what some people refer to as drug courts. That has been very effective to helping people get treatment, although it doesn't get to everyone, because there's some people who do not experience success or won't go to the therapeutic court, won't go through that process. So I do believe we need to have options within the legal justice system.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
I need to.
Yeah,
I need to leave some time to tackle a couple more issues when we come back. So let's take our break here. State Senator Brad Hawkins with us on the agenda. And back with more after this. We'll have to move quickly through these final two topics, because just to give you the little heads up there, I need a couple of minutes here at the end of the hour, Senator Hawkins, before we wrap up the hour. But when it comes to public safety. Law enforcement has said we can't have this situation where criminals know they can hop in their car, flee a crime, and get what they call, I think the Association of Police and Sheriffs call it, the get out of jail free card, and they're having to back off on pursuits, and it seems like eventually they find other ways to get criminals. So all this is in the aftermath of the George Floyd protests. Do you think there's any movement to change some of this criminal pursuit ability by law enforcement coming out of this legislature?
Well, that's certainly another topic that could come up this year. I certainly hope so, because we've heard that from communities and law enforcement entities all throughout the district. Although the makeup of the legislature for this coming two-year period is approximately the same as the legislature that approved those changes, those police reforms. I voted against them, but we tried to make some adjustments last year, in particular to police pursuits, but we were unsuccessful. So it just is, it just really depends on the sponsors of those bills and the prime proponents in the legislature. Are they willing to compromise a bit based on the feedback that they've heard the past year or two from law enforcement? And, I certainly hope so, because our law enforcement community needs a little more clarity, on those laws. It had good intentions when they tried to pass those bills, and they did. But, I think they've hopefully heard from the law enforcement community and are willing to make some adjustments.
And of course, I think, abortion rights predated Roe versus Wade in our state, just slightly, but back in 1991, there was, initiative, and it's been on the books here in our state ever since the early 90s, but there is a proposal to actually make a constitutional amendment, change the state constitution to codify that here. It would be a heavy lift, but there are quite a few majority votes on the Democratic side in both chambers to do that, and then of course that would come to the public for a vote on that as well. What do you think is the likelihood of that this legislative session?
I think it's hard to say, especially this early on, although I do think passing any constitutional amendment through both branches of the both chambers of the legislature is a heavy lift. In the state Senate, for example, we have 49 members. There's 29 Democratic members and 20 Republicans. But it requires a two-thirds, 66% vote in both the House and the Senate. And then it goes to a vote of the people for an up or down vote statewide to actually make changes to the state constitution. So as I've calculated the math, they'd need 33 votes in the Senate to pass it through the Senate. Plus you'd have to get the same two-thirds threshold in the House. So I think that may be a heavy lift, but I actually don't anticipate, when it comes to abortion, anything really changing in our state, even with the U.S. Supreme Court's recent decision. I know that was an issue nationally and certainly in other states, but knowing what the landscape is here and what the laws are that are already on the books, I would be surprised if anything changes on that issue this year, although it is going to be discussed and people are going to, you know, advocate hard on both sides of that issue, I would imagine.
All right. You'll be joining us periodically throughout the 105-day session in Olympia. I'll leave you time real quick. How can folks get in touch with you? They'll hear you Thursday here on our legislative hotline, the first session coming up with us Thursday morning at 8:05, but how can they get in touch and stay in touch with your office here during the legislature?
Well, the weekly KPQ interviews will be great. I look forward to it, but the best way is my website, SenatorBradHawkins.org, my email newsletters, my news releases. You can follow the legislative process and get a lot of resources through the website, so I encourage everybody to connect with me on SenatorBradHawkins.org.
All right. Thanks for joining us on the program today. We'll let you get back at it.
Thanks so much, Dave. Great to be with you.
All right. Thank you.